بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين يجتنبون كبائر الإثم والفواحش وإذا ما غضبوا هم يغفرون وقال تعالى أيضا ولا يأتر أولو الفضل منكم والسعة أن يؤتوا أولي القربى والمساكين والمهاجرين في سبيل الله وليعفوا وليصفحوا ألا تحبون أن يغفر الله لكم والله غفور رحيم بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم Honorable ulama, respected Huffaz, elders and brothers, mothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First and foremost, we commence with the praises of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that Allah who is of forgiving, most kind and most merciful. May Allah's choicest salutations continue to descend and flow upon our noble master, our mentor, our leader and our guide, Nabi Pak Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders and brothers, as we journey through life, there will be many instances in this journey of ours where we will feel betrayed. We will feel cheated and let down by close associates, perhaps by our own spouses, perhaps by our own children, by business colleagues, by brothers and by friends. There will always be people who will hurt us, who will disappoint us, and who will perhaps anger us. It is impossible to live on this planet without getting hurt, offended, misunderstood, and lied to. It's impossible to live on this planet. We can neither control the conduct of people, neither can we control the tongues of people, neither can we control the attitudes of people, neither can we change the past. Yet, friends, we can make a significant change in how we deal with hurt and pain. That is in mine and your control. Perhaps the greatest thing that we need to learn is we need to learn to forgive. Not forgiving keeps us trapped. It keeps us imprisoned. It keeps us in jail exactly where we do not want to be. Holding on to the memories of the past. Just as it is important to believe in the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah, it is also vitally important to base human relationships on forgiveness. We cannot expect Allah's forgiveness until we do not forgive those who have done wrong to us. When you forgive someone, understand this and understand it well. You see, when you forgive someone, you're doing it for yourself. You are doing it for yourself. It frees you from the weight of holding a grudge. It frees you from the weight of holding on to the past which you cannot change. Friends, don't let people live rent-free in your heart. Why do you want people to live rent-free in your heart? If they hurt you before, if they had hurt you before, why allow them to do it year after year? Hanging on to the feelings of resentment, hanging on to the feeling of hatred and anger will ensure that these destructive feelings spill over to your present life. And that, friends, will stop you from enjoying a positive, a happy, and a fruitful relationship with other people. When a deep injury is done to you, you will never recover until you do not learn to forgive. Now, respected elders and friends, the first impediment to forgiveness is we ask ourselves this question, that whether this person deserves to be forgiven. We think to ourselves, does this person deserve to be forgiven? Now this, pay careful attention. You know, you pay thousands of rands to attend a seminar of this caliber. If you go to the journey, you know, you heard of the journey and the secrets that all out there that people hold seminars, you will pay big bucks for this type of talks. So just pay careful attention, and inshallah when you walk out of here, you will see how much more positive and happy your life will be. So what happens is, the first question you ask yourself is this person deserving of my forgiveness? He's done so much of hurt to me. He's wronged me in so many ways. Like we say, you know, he's finished me up. Respected elders and friends, now I'm going to give you an example. And a striking example from the Quran al-Kareem that will answer this question. In reference to the most unfortunate event that happened in the life of the mother of believers, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha. She was the wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and perhaps the most beloved wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And together with that, she was the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who was a very, very close friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what happened, friends? She was slandered at, and the person that was responsible for ensuring that this rumor and this slander reaches every home was none other than the cousin of Hazrat Abu Bakr, whose name was Mistah. Now to put the cherry on the cake, this Mistah was the cousin of Hazrat Abu Bakr. Not only that, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to ensure that every month his lights and water were paid, there was food on his table, there was clothes on his body, everything of his was sorted out, like we say. So financially as well, he was being helped by Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But yet, he was in the forefront of spreading this rumor and the slander of Ummahatul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha. So what would be the natural reaction of a human being? I did so much for him. I did so much for him. I helped him so much. Yet this is how he repays me.
This is what he does to me. He stabs me in the back. So a natural human emotion, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anh takes an oath that I will never help this man again in my life. And did he do anything wrong? Did Hazrat Abu Bakr do wrong by saying that? No, it was natural that he was responsible for slandering my daughter. Notwithstanding the fact that I ensured that there was food on his table. So he takes an oath and he says, by Allah, I will never help this man again. Respected elders and friends, Allah immediately reveals the ayah in the 18th para. Allah says, وَلَا يَأْتَرِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَ. Allah says, let not those among you who are endured with grace and whom Allah has given financial prosperity. Look at the words Allah uses. Allah says that, O Abu Bakr, you are a man of grace. You are a man of standing. You are a man of stature. You are a man of caliber. And besides that, I have given you that wealth. This is another point. Generally, when we think we're helping somebody, we're doing him a big favor. Then we humble our hand. In Gujarati, they say we humble our hand. I helped you. You shouldn't have been nothing without me in life. Allah says that wealth that I gave you. How is it possible, O Abu Bakr, that you take an oath that you're not going to help your family? How is it possible that you take an oath that you are not going to help those who are in want and those who have migrated in the path of Allah? Allah says, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ. Look at the words that Allah says. Let them forgive and overlook. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Do you not love that Allah must forgive you? Oh Abu Bakr, you have taken an oath that you are not going to forgive and overlook. Imagine if Allah had to take you to task for the actions that you have performed on planet Earth. What should have happened to you? So أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ. Do you not love that Allah must forgive and overlook your faults? Now look at the stature of this man. Look at the caliber of this man. Wallah, Allah had chosen them, friends. Allah had chosen them to be radiyallahu anhu. Immediately he comes out from his house. Immediately he comes out from his home and he says, yes indeed, Abu Bakr needs the forgiveness of Allah. Abu Bakr wants the forgiveness of Allah. He not only continued to help him, but he doubled the financial assistance. Allah, our friends, will we ever find men of this caliber today? Not only did he continue to help Mista, but he even doubled the financial assistance. Allah Akbar. If you readily forgive, you will be readily forgiven. The second impediment, that was the first one. The second impediment is, we think that we are protecting ourselves by not forgiving. I am protecting myself by not forgiving this person. What happens is we ding on to the past out of the fear for the future. You can learn from the past. Of course, you can learn from the past. But respected elders and friends, mothers and sisters, you cannot live in the past. Let it go. It will hold you back. Don't let people hurt you. And don't let people have control over your present and your future. Qatada radiallahu anhu was once asked, which person has the highest standing? Which person has the highest standing in society? Look at the reply he gave. The one who is most abundant in his pardon. Allahu Akbar. The one who is most abundant, ready to forgive. Generally, me and you would think a different answer. But look at the answer he gave, friends. Now, of course, forgiving does not mean forgetting. We are humans. Forgiving does not mean forgetting. People don't quite understand that. We are not computers. We are not computers where we can just hit the delete button and forget about the past. We are not saying that you have to do that. Forgiveness means Forgiveness means never bringing up the past, even though you cannot erase the hurt from your mind. Of course, you can't forget about it. But you can forgive. Don't bring up the past. And that's it. And live in the present and the future. Respected elders and friends, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi. Allahu Akbar. And when a Sahabi walked into the door of Masjid al-Nabawi, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at the entrance and he said, a man of paradise has entered. What glad tidings, friends. What glad tidings. This man enters the door of Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees him and he says, a man of paradise has entered my masjid. At that instance, someone who was very ordinary, he was a very ordinary person, came and he sat in the masjid. The person who entered was a very ordinary person. No hoo-ha, nothing, perhaps not very well known in society in terms of finance, not a very big shot in society. Simple man, he came, he sat down, and he listened to the discourses of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now a Sahabi who was sitting in that gathering, a companion who was sitting in that gathering, was curious to know as why did the Prophet mention this man as a man of paradise? So he worked out a scheme. He worked out a plan. And he said, you know what, I'm going to try to spend 2 or 3 days with this chap to see why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grant him the highest accolade of paradise. So he goes up to this brother and he says, you know, I'm a traveler, I'm a wayfarer, I'm passing by. Is it possible for me to spend a night or two with you, and after that I will move on to my journey? So the simple man that he was, he said, you're most welcome in my home. So the first night, he was looking for signs. He was looking for symptoms. He was observing. The satellites were observing. What is this man doing? Extra special. That already in this world, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, a man of paradise. So he observed him the first night. Nothing unusual. He ate. He slept. He woke up. He came to the masjid. Nothing from reading the Quran whole night, burning the musallas, staring the musallas at night, nothing of that sort. Absolutely nothing. Next day, next night, same thing happened. He observed him in the day. He came, he read his 5 times salah with jama'ah. He done his business as usual. Next night, same thing, nothing unusual. No tahajjud, no piety being shown, nothing. The third night, same thing. This person could not take it anymore. This person could not take it anymore. After 3 nights, the next day, the 4th day, he said, brother, I am leaving. And as he walked away, this host realized that this person was here for a purpose. So he called him back and he said, what was the reason that you came to spend these 3 nights with me? So this person replies, you know, in honesty, this was my reason. When the Prophet, when you entered Masjid al-Nabawi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the man of paradise has entered into my masjid. I came to observe. I came to see what is that extra special thing that you are doing so that I may also enter paradise. So he mentioned, did you see anything? He said, no, nothing. So he asked this person, what are you doing? He said, you observed me for 72 hours. Did you find anything extra usual? He said, no, I found nothing extra usual. So as he walked away, he called him back and he said, oh my brother, there might be one thing. There might be one thing that before going to sleep every night, I forgive everyone. And I sleep with a clean heart. I forgive everyone and I sleep with a clean heart. Allahu Akbar. Based on that quality, friends, when he entered Masjid al-Nabawi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man of paradise is entered. Respected elders and friends, conflicts, trivial and great, will definitely arise between family and friends. But the question is, how are we supposed to react in the face of such conflicts? Should we defend ourselves to the fullest because we were in the right? Should we refuse to forgive and overlook the faults because we were wrong? Should we cut off family relationship, shun one another due to petty or even great arguments? How long can we hold on to our egos and forgive and overlook despite the great misdeed that had been targeted against us? In the Quran Kareem, over and over, time and time again, we are reminded that to forgive each other and live with each other in harmony and peace, regardless if the squabble is wholly the fault of the notorious other. Respected elders and friends, sometimes we might think to ourselves that it is perhaps easier for me to move a mountain than to forgive this person. But we need to understand, and we need to look at the striking example of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who despite being faced with attacks that was entirely provoked, did not hesitate to forgive once he was enlightened with the virtue of forgiveness. As differences and conflicts arise and pollute the atmosphere, there needs to be this window present to ventilate it. The window makes it possible to blow away our charged feelings and allow fresh air into our lives. It may be hard. It may be hard to open it and push back the rusty railings that have formed there. But we must remember that this window of forgiveness, this window of allowing fresh air into our lives, is the same window which has been promised to lead to the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal. Tomorrow night, we will be begging for Allah. We will be imploring Allah. We will be beseeching Allah for forgiveness. Friends, let us try to sort out the human relationship aspect of it. Let us try to sort out the human relationship aspect of it, and then see tomorrow night how we draw from the treasures of Allah. When we will go to Allah with a clean heart, when we will go to Allah with an open mind and a clean mind, then we will see how we will draw from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the ability to forgive easily, so that we may in turn enjoy divine forgiveness. And inshallah tomorrow night, a special program will be held inshallah after the Isha Salah with regard to the significance and the auspices of tomorrow night, the 15th of Shaaban, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.